This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salamat Patank. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'in wa nusalli wa nusallim ala khatim al-nabiyyin, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do so seeking His blessings. We praise Him subhanah. We seek His assistance. We seek His guidance. And we seek refuge in Him from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. We testify that whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, then none can misguide. And whomsoever He misguides, then none can guide. And we request praises and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our master and our teacher and our leader, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. My dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, my fathers and mothers, it's an honor to be standing on this stage amidst you all in a historical event. At least for me, this is the first time I am speaking to the community of Perlis, mashallah, tabarakallah. And honestly, since arriving, the entire journey has been warm, has been heartfelt, and I already love the community, mashallah, tabarakallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this place. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant its inhabitants only success in this life and the next. Ameen. My dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, the topic asked of me, as we heard from Brother Faisal slash Yusuf, is related to Surah Yusuf. A surah, subhanallah, that is dedicated to an entire story. And a story that is dedicated to one family. It is the only surah in the Quran that consists from its beginning till its end of a story. And the story dedicated to one family, a prophetic family. The family of Ya'qub alayhi salam and his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And indeed they were both prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Yusuf alayhi salam as being Kareem, the son of Kareem, the son of Kareem, and the son of Kareem, subhanallah. Because Yusuf alayhi salam was a messenger, the son of a messenger, Ya'qub alayhi salam, who was the son of a messenger, Ishaq alayhi salam, who was the son of a messenger, the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So subhanallah, what a noble lineage. This is the reality of the topic of the surah and the family of this surah. Now, Surah Yusuf, as the scholars of Islam have described, contains more than 1,000 life lessons in it. Subhanallah. But we don't have a scholar who left us the book with the 1,000 plus lessons. But alhamdulillah, we have these lessons and ideas scattered amongst the books of tafsir and the various lessons of the scholars who taught the surah to their students. And the book that was presented to you earlier is my journey, or I would say 75% of my journey, because I couldn't publish the whole amount. The publisher said, nobody reads these days, Sheikh. Do you guys read? They said, if you write a book of 500 pages, 300 pages, people will get scared. So we have to reduce. We have to reduce. So the book that was pitched to you all is my own personal journey across almost 2 decades with Surah Yusuf. And subhanAllah, I can tell you something. Every time I teach the surah, I learn something new. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens upon me something new. And I mention to my students that what I'm sharing with you now, I haven't shared before. This is something new. And this is how the Quran is. The Quran is the only book that you will read and you will start reading again without feeling like you've read the book. Normally we read a book. When we read it for the second time, we said we've already read the book. But with the Quran, subhanAllah, when you read it again for the second time or the 100th time or the 1,000th time, you never ever feel like I've read the book. It's amazing. It's from the miraculous nature of the Quran. Because you know that through tadabbur and through pondering, subhanAllah, the Quran is going to speak to you a lesson that you haven't received before. And the scholars before us used to say that if you want to speak to Allah, make dua. And if you want Allah to speak to you, read the Quran. Subhanallah. For indeed, the Quran consists of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Miraculous words. Timeless lessons. This is the reality of the Quran and the surah that today's topic is connected to. Now, the topic is not about tafsir from Surah Yusuf. The topic is about empowerment lessons from Surah Yusuf. Empowerment lessons from Surah Yusuf. In the Arabic language, we can use the term at-tamkeen. At-tamkeen would be an appropriate word that denotes empowerment. And brothers and sisters in Islam, Surah Yusuf is so widely studied even in academia. We have postgraduate research papers connected to identifiable themes in Surah Yusuf. For example, psychology from Surah Yusuf, because there's many stresses in the surah. Yaqub alayhi salam went through a test. Yusuf alayhi salam, also a test, almost a lifelong of tests. The test of the father and the son upon a conservative metric would be at least 5 decades long, 50 years long. Think about it. Because Yusuf was taken from the home of his father when he was a young boy. Some scholars say around the age of 7 or 8. And Allah tells us in the Quran that he reached the peak of his human existence in terms of strength, the age of 40, whilst he was in the home of the minister. And then he was imprisoned. And Allah tells us he was in prison for almost 10 years. And then there was the 7 years of drought, or the 7 years of drought and the 7 years of rainfall. If you put all these numbers together, you can see conservatively at least 50 years, subhanAllah, has passed before they are reunited. What a test. The test of a father not knowing where his son is and having preponderant knowledge, غَلَبَةَ الظَّنِ, preponderant knowledge that he's still alive. Why? Because there was a dream that he heard from his son before his son was abducted, and he understood the nature of this dream. He understood that this dream here means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take my son on a journey, so it can't be that he's died. And also, when his other sons came with the shirt dipped with blood, some of the scholars say, when they presented the shirt to the father to say, look, a wolf ate Yusuf alayhi salam, and this is his shirt, and look at the blood stains on the shirt, they say the shirt was not torn. How can a wolf devour a boy and the shirt has no tear on it? So this was a sign for Yaqub alayhi salam. So imagine this test. Where is my son? I don't know. Is he alive? Most likely so. So he has no closure. Is he okay? How is his iman? How is his Islam? How is his health? How is his well-being? What's his situation? It's a test for a father. Day after day, night after night. One of the hardest tests of life is the test of, or the test in relation to our children. It's one of the hardest tests. Especially for a mother. A father as well, but especially for a mother. The pious before engaged in a conversation with an elderly lady and asked her, what kind of a test would it be if you lose a husband? She says, that's a test. That is a test. But we can remarry. What about losing of your parent? That is a huge test. But it's something we were anticipating. Because we know life has a start point and an end point. And old age denotes the end point. Okay? Then she was asked, what about losing a child? She said, that is a spear through the heart. That is something, subhanallah, a test of great proportions. Something very difficult to get through. Yaqub alayhi salam is going through this test day after day, night after night. And what about Yusuf alayhi salam? He too went through the test. The test of being stolen from the home of his father, kidnapped. That is a test. Thrown down the bottom of a well. That is a test. The shirt is taken off him. That is a test. Okay, now he's homeless. But then what? Does the test get easier? No, it gets harder. What happens? He is stolen from the well by foreigners. That is a test. Before he was a citizen, now he's not a citizen. They've removed him from his place. And where was the family of Yaqub? They say he was in a place known as Canaan, which is in Palestine. He's being removed from Palestine. Now he's traveling to Egypt. He had a passport. For example, in today's terminology, you have a passport, you have a permit. He's got no passport, he's got no permit. Not only is he homeless now, he's landless. Okay? Does the test end there? No. They sell him as a slave. La ilaha illallah. So homeless, then landless, then freeless. He's not free. Now he's a slave. And the system of the time was when you sold as a slave, you remain a slave. He's a slave now. And if you look at the history books about the slave markets of Egypt, subhanallah, it was a very scary place. Slaves were not treated as human beings. It says that they would pull them by the ears to check how healthy they were. They would pull open their mouths to check the health of their teeth. They were treated like animals. Imagine Yusuf is here, a young boy. No father, no parents, no brothers, no home, no land. And now I'm not even free. I can't fight for my case. These people have stolen me and said I'm a slave. I don't know anyone here. Is it worth me talking? He remains silent. Then, subhanallah, he's put into the minister's home. This was an ease from Allah because it was one of the best homes in the land. But, subhanallah, he is tested in this place. He grows up. Allah blessed him with amazing beauty. And the minister's wife is watching him day after day, night after night. And she is developing feelings for him. And then she puts him in the ultimate test. There's a test of life, there's a test of money, there's a test of land, there's a test of home. But now test of your iman, test of your Islam. She locks him in a room. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She shut the doors and the windows. No access, no exit, no viewing point. No one will know what's happening. And she says, come to me. And he says to her, after all these years, he's 40 now. He was taken as a young boy from his father's home. He grew up in a place where they worshipped idols. And clearly they were very poor adab, manners and morals. Clearly, right? So he's not, you know, listening about Islam and about deen and about iman. They're not telling him about Allah. This is something we fear. If we take our children and put them in another country, in another environment, will they change? Will the environment affect them? Will they become sinful? Will they lose the iman? Yusuf now is a man at the peak of manhood. He's not married. He has desires. And he's in this room. And the most powerful lady in the land, or one of the most powerful ladies in the land, what is she saying? Hey Talak, come to me. And the first words that comes out of his mouth is, Ma'adallah. Ma'adallah. I seek refuge in Allah. Who taught him this, subhanallah? Look at this test. Even this test he passes. Then the test continue. What happens next? He gets threatened. It's either you go ahead and follow through with the command. Remember, this is a command. He's a slave. She's the master. Follow through with the command or we will jail you. He says, Ya Rab, oh my Lord, السجن أحب إلي. Prison, what they're threatening me with is more beloved to me than what they are calling me to. Prison, yes, restricts me of certain rights. But the worst thing for me is to lose my Lord. Rather, they be angry with me and Allah be happy with me. Amazing, right? And then he's thrown into the prison. So the test continues and continues and continues. Then there's another test. The person in the prison who Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted his dream for, when he was leaving, Yusuf said to him, "Udhkurni inda rabbik." You know where you're going? I interpreted your dream. I said to you, you are going to work for the king. When you go to the king, just tell him about me. Maybe this is my key out of here. Maybe this is my hope. Maybe you will be a means. Just tell the king about me, that there's this innocent person, he's in prison, help him. Or he interpreted the dream, he has some skills, help him. Subhanallah, this man leaves the prison, he forgets. He doesn't mention Yusuf to the king. Allah says, he stayed in the prison, bid'a sinin, for a number of years. Not more than 10, but not less than 3. Some scholars say it was around 7. This is another test. This is the life of Yusuf, a life of being tested. Decade upon decade, decade upon decade. His father's at home, again being tested. Decade upon decade, decade upon decade. And that is why, if you could take, subhanallah, a slogan from the surah, it is the revealed words of Allah, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Allah tells us that Yaqub said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ أي سَأَصْبِرُ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ meaning, I will exercise a beautiful patience. And I guess this is where we need to, or this is the point I need to use as a segue into today's topic. The topic of empowerment lessons from Surah Yusuf. Now you can imagine there's many lessons just from my introduction. But I want to share with you 3, and if we have time, 5. Because, subhanallah, there's so much information around us today. How much do we remember? We attend lectures. How much do we remember? In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, subhanallah, the scholars deduce from some of the ayat from Surah Al-Jumu'ah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, leave buying and selling and go to the masjid, this is better for you. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they say that this is better for you means that a Muslim should become better after the Jum'ah khutbah than they were before the Jum'ah khutbah. What does this mean? That the khatib, when he delivers the khutbah and he reminds us to something, he calls us to something, he shares a reminder, isn't it? He shares a lesson. Correct, brothers and sisters? Are you with me? Yes, you had lunch, you had rest. First conference I've seen, they give you qaylula. MashaAllah. Long break. Alhamdulillah. It's from the mercy of Perlis, MashaAllah. What was I saying? Who can remind me? I think I need qaylula, huh? Jum'ah, MashaAllah. I'm just testing you, I know. Come on, guys. Just make sure you're awake. Jum'ah. The khatib, he gives you a lesson. What are the scholars saying? MashaAllah. What are the scholars saying? The scholars are saying, after you hear the Jum'ah khutbah, you learn something. You now know something. You need to grow from what you know. See, I want to make it a rhyme for you, so you don't forget. You need to grow from what you know. So if I come here now in a short lecture and I share with you 100 lessons of empowerment, how many will you remember? So let's try 3, and if we have time, 5. Okay? Bismillah. And from what I shared in terms of the introduction, you've already taken lessons of empowerment, inshallah. But we will circle back to them. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is relevant to us because this is a story of Yusuf, but in our Quran. Yeah? So one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, when did Allah reveal the surah? When? What was the situation of the ummah when the surah came down? And when we look into the books of tafsir, we see that it was revealed in the 10th year after hijrah. Tenth year, this is jet lag by the way, huh? I'm coming from the west. 10th year after the prophetic mission, 3 years before Hijrah. 10th year after the prophetic mission, 3 years before Hijrah. Now, what's happened? Think about this. The persecution of the Muslims was at its highest. The Quraysh sanctioned the Muslims for 3 years. Not so? 3 years, right? In the Shi'b, Abu Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, they were sanctioned. Al-Hisar. They were put there. No food, no drink, no trade, no medicine. What a great test. The milk in the breast of mothers began to dry up. Children used to cry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to see this. What a test on his heart also. Because they are being persecuted just for saying La ilaha illallah. You remember this, guys? 3 years. Some sources say they were thinking of eating leaves. That is how hungry they were, and that is how scarce the food was. But they didn't leave Islam. Okay? Then what happens? They come out. Allahu Akbar. You think, wow, we're out of this sanctions. What happens? Allah tests the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, Abu Talib passes away. His greatest supporter from the non-Muslims. And then he passed away without tawheed. So this was hard on the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. Then Khadija bint Khuwaylid, his first wife, his beloved, his greatest supporter, she passes away. Subhanallah. The one who believed in him when the people denied him. When he came home saying he saw something that most of us will say, Subhanallah, this person's crazy. She calmed him down and she reminded him of all his good qualities. You look after the weak. You maintain family relations. You are good to your neighbors. So Allah will never disgrace you. I will not doubt you, my husband. Anyone else will say, I think maybe you were up there too long. The mountain is too high. Yeah, today when we go to the mountain, Mount Nur, we look at it and think, Subhanallah, heat stroke, isn't it? It's very high. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up. Maybe someone will say, Subhanallah, maybe you need some water. Maybe there's dehydration. Maybe you're hallucinating. But she believed in it because I won't doubt you because you're a good man. Let's explore. Let's go to Waraqa. Let's ask him. She passes away. Radiallahu anha. Very tough time for the Muslims. Not just the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he was a bashar, he was a human being. He goes to Ta'if thinking, let me try somewhere else. They stone him. Not only do they stone him, they get the children to come stone him. They want to disgrace him. They want to disgrace him. Allah reveals Surah Yusuf. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. At a time when you feel powerless, no uncle, no wife, the people who loved me, they hate me. Yesterday they said I'm the most truthful one. They said I'm the most trustworthy one. When they wanted to put the Hajar al-Aswad back in the Kaaba, they were fighting amongst themselves. When I walked in, they said, he is the man who is going to solve our problem. And today, I'm the most hated. What did I do? Nothing. But say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. U'budullah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Worship one Lord. That's all. Imagine this test on him. Allah reveals, نَحْنُ نَقُصُ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We reveal to you the best of stories. The story, which is not a fake story, is not fiction. It's a true story. It's the best of stories. It's going to be part of the Quran till the day of Qiyamah. And it's going to be a story of empowerment. We're going to tell you of another man who was also a prophet, the son of a prophet. And him and his father, they went through a test, a long test, over 5 decades. What does Allah say in Surah Yusuf? وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, this is how we empowered and established Yusuf in the land. Which land? The land of Egypt. It wasn't his land, but he was the minister of the land eventually. Managing the economics of Egypt successfully to the extent that during the drought, millions were saved. Not only the citizens of Egypt, but the surrounding countries because he had excess. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving Surah Yusuf to maintain his hope and trust in Allah. That, O Messenger of Allah, It's only a matter of days. What you've been through is a matter of days. And maybe bigger tests are to come. But at the end, the truth will overcome falsehood. So the first lesson of empowerment that we can take from Surah Yusuf in light of this, all servants of Allah and O children of Adam, is Tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we sincerely believe in the oneness of Allah, the oneness of His Lordship, the attributes of Rububiyyah, that He is the only creator, the only maker, the only shaper, the only sustainer, the giver of life, the giver of death, the one who brought things out of existence into existence, and the one who nurtures His creation to perfection, and the one who is a protector over His creation. This is the meaning of Rabb. Allah is our Rabb. We need to believe in His oneness, in these attributes of Lordship. And also, in the oneness with reference to His attributes of worship, that we don't associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape or in any form. That when it comes to acts of worship that Allah revealed as acts of worship in and of itself, we make sure it's for the sake of Allah. We don't want to build any goodwill even. We don't entertain the idea, because shaitan will attack us through these points. Sometimes, you know, it happens. There's a boy, he wants to marry a girl. I'll give you a simple example. MashaAllah, Allah gave him good voice. So now he knows her father, he's praying Maghrib with us. So now he wants to try to be Imam of Maghrib. Why do you want to be Imam of Maghrib? Not for the sake of Allah, but also, this is where the problem is. That, but also, push it away. Push it away. This Tawheed, oneness in Allah, entails that you develop your relationship with Allah to a level that no one in existence or no circumstance in existence has any control of you. If you speak for the sake of Allah alone. If you remain silent, you remain silent for the sake of Allah alone. If you move, you move for the sake of Allah alone. If you don't move, you don't move for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is Tawheed. This is the oneness of Allah, where you grow your relationship with Allah to the extent that you become a waqf. You know what waqf is? Who knows what waqf is? Raise your hand. Waqf, waqf, waqf. Put your hand high so I can see. A waqf, take for example, you have a house. This is your house, right? When you die, it will become your children's house, correct? If you take the waqf, if you take the house and you make it a waqf, you transfer ownership to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, you don't own it, your children can't inherit it, nobody can sell it. It belongs to who? It belongs to Allah. And all the money from it is used in causes beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a waqf. Make your life a waqf, where no one owns you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one moves you but Allah. No one keeps you stationary but Allah. That before you speak, you ask yourself, am I speaking for the sake of Allah or for the sake of myself? If it's for the sake of yourself, remain silent. Some of our scholars, subhanAllah, they would write entire books. Entire books. They say Shaykh Shinqiti is a famous contemporary scholar. He wrote a book on Ansab. Ansab. And he was going to publish it. But then subhanAllah, he asked himself this question. Am I publishing it to bring goodwill and support myself, or is it to support Islam? And at the end, he wasn't convinced it was to support Islam, so he buried the book. La ilaha illallah. After all that time, after all that effort, he buried it. It's not for Allah, it doesn't need to exist. Tawheed. This existed in Yusuf alayhi salam, it existed in Yaqub alayhi salam, and it was Yaqub alayhi salam that taught Yusuf alayhi salam about Allah when he was a young boy. Remember, he was abducted early and he grew up in a house of idolatry. But still, he always said, Allah is my Lord. When he was in the house, in the room with the minister's wife, he said, Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. Yaqub alayhi salam, when he was a young boy, he taught him about Allah. And that is why, and we need to deduce from the surah, and I discussed this in the book. We deduce from the surah that Yaqub taught Yusuf about Allah, because when Yusuf saw the dream Why did he feel this dream is problematic? Why? What is the reason? I mean, children have vivid imagination. Crispy imagination. I saw the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to me. This is imagination. But Yusuf is, no, I need to ask my father about this. Why would a young boy find this vision problematic? This is clear. We can deduce from it that his father taught him about Tawheed. And even in the early point of the surah, when Allah gives us a brief about this relationship or this little moment between Ya'qub and Yusuf, Ya'qub tells him, Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Your Lord is knowledgeable, Yusuf, and your Lord is wise. He's teaching about Allah. So don't associate partners with Allah. So Tawheed is the first lesson. And Yusuf carried this lesson throughout his life, even in the prison. When he was in the prison, and the two inmates came to him and said, we've seen this dream. You look like an intelligent person. Can you interpret the dream for us? What did Yusuf do? Did Yusuf tell them, yes, I know what your dream means. This is what it means? No. He said to them, listen, the meal will not come except that I would have interpreted the dream for you. Look at him. He's thinking da'wah to Allah. Because if he didn't answer their question immediately, they would have left him. So immediately he says, look, before meal time, I will interpret your dream. But I need you to wait and listen to me. Because you want to know the meaning of your dream. But there's some information you need to know. You didn't ask about it, but you need to know it. You asked me about something else. That is a want, but there's a need. So what did he say to them? He said, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. I am upon the way of my forefathers, my grandfathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. What is our way? We never ever associated partners with Allah. You see how he's holding on to Tawheed. You want empowerment? It starts with Tawheed. He wants to empower these people in the prison. Interpretation of the dream is important, but this is more important. You need to know Tawheed because we want to build people. We want to build society. We want to build a nation. It has to start with La ilaha illallah. It has to start with the one who controls all of perfection, who controls all of success. You want success? Start with the source of success. You want perfection? Start with the source of perfection. You want to raise good children? You want to be good citizens in Perlis and Malaysia? Start with the source of perfection. Improve your tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a topic in and of itself. But empowerment lesson number one, tawheed. Tayyib. Number two, be patient, a beautiful patience. Now we know what patient means. What, you know, being patient, we understand it. Yeah? Simply, what is being patient? Being patient means you enter a situation that wants to break you apart, but you keep yourself together. This is patience. You want to scream, but you don't scream. You maintain a decent demeanor. The situation is trying to pull you apart, but you keep yourself together. This is sabr. This is sabr. You are tied together. You maintain composure. But what is sabrun jameel? A beautiful patience. What is a beautiful patience? A beautiful patience is when you are patient, having total trust in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is another level. This is another level, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And both Yusuf and Ya'qub alayhi salam, they are kings in teaching us how to be patient, having trust in Allah's plan. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is receiving the story. He's reciting it to the Sahaba. The Sahaba also were persecuted. They're listening here that, okay, we just need to trust Allah's plan. We need to be patient. Trust Allah's plan. It's all going to work out. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ means whatever Allah does, He does good. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ means whatever Allah does, He does good. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ means when it goes my way, alhamdulillah. And when it doesn't go my way, alhamdulillah. When it goes my way, alhamdulillah, بِنِعْمَتِهِ تَتِمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. All praises belongs to Allah. It is with His blessings that goodness is completed. When it doesn't go my way, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We say alhamdulillah in all circumstances. We are from Allah. We belong to Him. The world is from Allah, it belongs to Him. The circumstances are from Allah, and all these circumstances belong to Allah. Allah gives what He wants, and Allah takes what is His. And that is why when someone passes away, we remind each other, Inna lillah. This lam here is lam of tamlik. What is lam of tamlik? Lam of ownership. That indeed we belong to Allah. Allah only took back what is His. Subhanallah, it was never ours. It was Allah's. That money you have is safekeeping. It belongs to Allah. The life you have, it's safekeeping. It belongs to Allah. Safekeeping. That's why Allah is going to ask you on the day of Qiyamah, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your wealth? I only gave it to you for safekeeping. Did you safely keep it? If you owned it, why should you be questioned? It's yours. Do what you want, when you want, how you want. But it all belongs to Allah. And when we understand this, we can manage life. When we understand this, we can manage life better, circumstances better. May Allah not test us with difficulty, but difficulty will come. That is the sunnah of Allah in this creation. And there's no greater evidence for us than 15 months of Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return to them what they lost. Ameen. And accept from them their martyrs. Ameen. And cure their sick. Ameen. And have mercy upon their diseased. Ameen. And may Allah feed them and clothe them. Ameen. La ilaha illallah. What a test. But look at them. Bearing 15 family members at a time. And saying, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. Even non-Muslims are empowered by the people of Gaza. They're saying, what is this? Who are these people? Who does this? Who holds their dead child and with total peace, with a smile on their face? And now they are searching on Google because they hear on these apps, Allahu Akbar. They try to type Allahu. And then Google now with AI, it gets completed for you. Do you mean Allahu Akbar? Yes. Okay. It means Allah is the greatest. Now they are learning. Allah, that's what they are saying. So the thing that's keeping them together is Allah. The non-Muslim is seeing this. So what about the Muslim? Don't we have a greater right? Indeed we do. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three. And by the way, Yusuf alayhi salam, he's an ayah from the ayat of Allah in patience. Because patience has many types. You have a patience when you're forced to be patient. And that's when Allah tests us with difficulty, isn't it? You're forced to. You have to be patient. You have no choice. But there's something called as-sabr al-ikhtiyari. As-sabr al-ikhtiyari is when you choose to be patient. Subhanallah. When the ease comes, and for a bigger picture, you say, no, I will remain in difficulty. And Yusuf had this. Remember when? In the prison, when finally the king said, bring Yusuf to me. What did he say? Allah says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. Allah says that the king said, bring him to me. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ قَالَ رُجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. When the messenger came to call Yusuf out of the prison, Yusuf said to him, go back to the king. I'm staying here. I'm not coming out. Go back to him and tell him I'm not coming out until he brings the women of the city and ask them what happened. Who was innocent and who was guilty. So until his innocence was proven, he says, I'm going to remain here. This is a patience when you choose to be patient. Subhanallah. So lesson number two in empowerment, sabrun jameel. Not just patience, but patience trusting Allah's plan. Sabrun jameel, my brother and sister in Islam, is about going through life knowing that I only have a pixel. You know a pixel? You know a big picture? It's made up of pixels. Every day you get a pixel. You have to be patient and gather more pixels, gather more pixels, gather more pixels. If you do, what will happen? You'll start seeing the picture. But if you only have a few pixels and you start thinking, what is this picture? Let me try and guess the picture from one pixel or a handful of pixels. What's going to happen? You're going to think of worst case scenarios. Let me simplify it for you all. Are you ready? You ready? Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was thrown into the well, was that a good thing or a bad thing? Was it an easy thing or a hard thing? Was it a blessing or a test? For the sake of using these terminologies, otherwise all tests are blessings. Yeah? All tests are blessings. But just so you understand, and I understand that you understand. All right. Now, 50 plus years later, when he's the minister of Egypt, is that good or bad? easy or difficult, a blessing or a curse. That's the better example, blessing or curse. Huh? Now I'm asking you the question. If Yusuf wasn't in the well 50 plus years before, would he be the minister 50 plus years later? Subhanallah. If he wasn't in the well 50 plus years before, how many millions would have died 50 plus years later because of the famine and the drought? So now, at the beginning of the story, you are saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And at the end of the story, you are saying, Alhamdulillah, he was in the well 50 years before. Alhamdulillah, they threw him in the well. Isn't it? Well, you don't say it like that, but you understand the bigger picture is with Allah. And through the test, Allah raises in rank whom He wills, and He debases whom He wills. It's for you to maintain course. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Maintain yourself, manage yourself, and you'll get there. My time has come to an end, but I'm going to seek from them just 5 minutes, inshallah. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is important. Pixel versus the picture. For empowerment, we need to believe in this. That we only have the pixel. I will not change my course because of the pixel. I will trust the plan of Allah. And I will gather more pixels. The only way I can gather more pixels is to be patient and trust Allah's plan. As long as I'm doing the right thing, as long as I'm doing the right thing with Allah, I'm going to maintain my course. Is this clear? So number two, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Number three, despite the circumstances, excel. This is the last point I'm going to share with you. There's so many more, but we said three, and my time's come to an end. Despite the circumstances, excel. You see, the believer is that person. The moment comes to them, and they come to the moment. And when they meet, the believer defines the moment. The believer doesn't let the moment define them. They excel. The believer doesn't let someone else's bad character decide their character. The believer doesn't make circumstances around them decide their vision. The believer is one. If they want to get from point A to point B and there's no bridge, they will build the bridge. They won't say, there's no bridge, I give up. They excel despite the circumstances. This is the thinking we want from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Yusuf is teaching the Sahaba, think big, believe big, do not be belittled. Allah tests whom He loves. This is the reality of life. Allah will test you. Will you stop thinking big? Will you stop believing big? You want something great? You have to go through the grind. You want to build something amazing? You have to sweat. This is the reality of life. So if you want empowerment, you need to think big and bigger, my brother and sister in Islam. When I speak to university students, I tell them, I don't want you to become doctors and lawyers and engineers and pharmacists. I don't want this. They say, Sheikh, we're already studying this now, 2 years into the program, 3 years into the program. Why didn't you come tell us before? I say to them, I don't want you to become a doctor. I want you to be the best doctor. I don't want you to become an engineer. I want you to be the best engineer. You got to think bigger. Don't just accept qualifying. Think bigger. I'm going to be the engineer that's going to develop the solution for those who are living in captivity with no water to get clean water from salt water. I'm going to come up with the solution. Subhanallah. That's thinking big. And you are making your degree now for the sake of Allah because you intend service. You don't intend a job. You don't intend a degree. When you intend a degree, you are thinking small. When you think salary, you are thinking small. When you say, I want a job because of my salary, this is small thinking. This is not the thinking of the people of Iman. It's not the thinking of the people of Allah. The people of Allah think bigger. The people of Allah smell paradise in the situations around them. They excel despite the circumstance, despite the situation. And we need to see this from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think bigger. Think better. Think greater. Yusuf alayhi salam, he constantly excelled. When he went into the minister's home, he was excelling. Why did the wife of the minister fall in love with him? Not only he was beautiful, of course, but he was also beautiful in his vision, in his demeanor. There's a science now known, well, there's a science, sociology. We know sociology. Part of sociology, they discuss this, that is it possible for a female to remain in love with a male that she doesn't respect, to fall in love with a male that she doesn't respect. that he doesn't have the credentials that make her feel empowered. They discuss this. This female is watching Yusuf being proactive, thinking bigger. He's a slave, but he's learning economics from the minister. He's learning from him. So he had the demeanor that also pushed her over the line. Not only did he have physical beauty, he had internal beauty as well. When he went into the prison, what do they say to him? Inna naraka minal muhsinin. Out of everyone in the prison, these two prisoners, they come to Yusuf and say, can you interpret the dream for us? We see you from the good doers. We could have gone to other people, but we've come to you. Because we see something different in you. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. Then later on, when Yusuf is the minister and the brothers who stole him from his father come back to him and they ask for the provisions and they don't know it's Yusuf. They were at a distance watching how Yusuf is dealing with the people. So they come up to him and say, can we have our provisions? Inna naraka minal muhsinin. They say the same words to him that the people in the prison said to him, that indeed we see you from the good doers. Your circumstance doesn't define you. You are defining the circumstance. We feel empowered when we see you. We want you to help us. So the three lessons of empowerment for today's session from Surah Yusuf 3 is a good number, isn't it? You will take it. Number one, grow your tawheed. Grow it. Don't say, I know tawheed. Grow it. Work on it. Renew your intentions with Allah. Shaitan is always attacking you from the door of tawheed. Make your life a waqf that you do it for the sake of Allah. Number one. Number two, fasabrun jameel. Circumstances will happen. Allah will give you moments of ease and Allah will give you moments of difficulty. Make sure you remain patient, trusting Allah's plan. Always trust Allah's plan. And number three, excel despite the circumstances. Do not let circumstances decide your vision. You decide the vision and you enable the circumstances. We want to see from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam those inventing the greatest inventions that the entire world is in need of. Today, we are in need of social media created by somebody else. We are in need of this invention created by somebody else. And then they control what we say and what we do. Who from amongst us is thinking we are going to develop the next social media platform for 1.8 billion Muslims? Who is thinking like that? Who is thinking like that? And that's just one example of many. I love you all for the sake of Allah. My time has come to an end. I have to get off the stage. It's an honor being with you all and ask Allah to preserve us in His obedience and not make this our only meeting. May we have many, many more meetings together so we can learn from the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything correct said is from Allah and He's perfect. Any mistakes are from myself and Shaytan. And I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. May Allah bless you all and bless the conference organizers. Jazakumullahu khairan. Hada wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.